Good morning, and welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. This is the second Sunday of Easter. We continue our Easter celebration, as you can tell from the altar decorations and the way things are set up. A special thank you to Luann and Vern for all their hard work to make things look nice. Also want to give a little shout out today to Pastor Ryan and Lauren and Blakely and Declan. Just let you know that we're thinking about you and we're holding you in our thoughts and prayers constantly. There's only one announcement that we really have today, and that's we are looking for a greeter coordinator. You know how we have greeters who stand out in the narthex and greet people as they come into worship and help them find their way into the sanctuary? Well, we need someone to coordinate people, to call people and schedule them. Position is open now. So if you're interested, please give a call to the church office and we'll pass your name on to the people who need to know. With that, let us begin our worship. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take some time to share that peace with each other in our homes, through text, however it is that it works for you. We continue with our confession. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us take some time right now to confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. A moment for silent reflection. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's own authority, I therefore declare to us the entire forgiveness of all of our sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing together our opening hymn, Alleluia, Jesus is Risen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in praying the prayer of the day. Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection. By the grace of Christ among us, enable us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship today with the reading of the lessons.
Our first reading is from the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 32. While the apostles testified to others about the resurrection of Jesus, the early Christian community shared what they owned or sold their possessions to help their fellow believers who were in need. The reading from Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Today's responsive reading is Psalm 133. How good and how pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like fine oil upon the head, flowing down upon the beard of Aaron, flowing down upon the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon flowing down upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The second reading is from the first chapter of 1 John, beginning with verse 1 and continuing through the second verse of chapter 2. The opening of this letter serves as a reality check. The reality of God is light, but our confessed reality has been sin. God cleanses us from our sinful reality through Christ's death, so that we live in fellowship with Christ and walk in God's light. The reading from 1 John. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked out and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Here ends the readings.
Our gospel reading this morning is written in the Gospel of St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue now with the children's sermon. Good morning, boys and girls. So glad to see you this morning and be with you. This morning I brought this. It's just a cup that I have that's full of coins. This is a old Fuzzy's taco cup. Have you ever been to Fuzzy Tacos? Yum. And oh, you should get queso and chips because it is really, really good. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But this cup, and all I have are these coins, right? They're just regular Morgan silver dollar coins. I can show you one if you want. I'll bring it up to the camera a little closer. There you go. See it? You may have one of those at home. I've got more at home too. Anyway, so listen, I'm going to take this cup, and this morning I'm just going to take the coin, and I'm going to drop it into the cup. All right, that's all. All right, hear it? And then I'm going to pour it out. There it is. Again. Let's do it again. Ready? Here's the coin. I'm going to take it. I'm going to drop it into the cup, and then I drop it out. Okay, one more time, except this time I'm going to do things a little differently. This time I'm going to drop it into the cup, just like I had before, but I'm going to say some magic words. Ready? So my magic words are abracadabra chicken lips. I don't know, chicken lips, maybe it's not. Anyway, chicken lips. So now the coin has disappeared. It's not in here anymore. It's gone. You don't believe me? Watch. Huh. Oh, ho, ho. Where is it? It's gone. And I don't know where it's gone. Wait, actually I do. The coin is floating out here in front of me. You believe me? No? Watch. I'm going to grab it. Ready? I got it. Yeah, you can't see it, but it's there. Even though you can't see it, it's still there. Still don't believe me. Watch. I'm going to prove it. Ready? I'm going to put it into the cup just like we did before. One, two, three. Oh, did you hear it? I heard it. This kind of reminds me of the gospel story that we just had today. It's about Jesus' friends, the disciples. You remember those guys? They went everywhere with him. They did everything. Well, remember Jesus had been arrested and was tortured and was crucified. He was killed on the cross, and they put his body in the tomb. Well, then on Easter, his body was gone, and the disciples, they didn't know what was going on, so they went and they locked themselves into this room because they were afraid that people might hurt them too. Anyway, so Jesus, he comes to them one day. He comes to them and he says, "Peace be with you. Don't be afraid. I'm here, and you need to go out into the world just like I went out into the world, and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. So here, let me breathe on you." He breathed on them, and they had power, and they had strength, and they were so excited, and then Jesus was gone. Well, there's only one problem. One of the friends was not there that day. One of the friends was gone. His name was Thomas. And when he came back, all the disciples were so excited. They were like, Thomas, guess what? We saw Jesus. And Thomas said, No, you didn't. He was dead and he's gone. We don't know what happened to Jesus. You didn't see him. He said, No, we really did, Thomas. We saw him. And Thomas said, listen, unless I see him, unless I can take my finger and put it into the hole in his hands or put my hand into his side, I don't believe you. Well, 1 week later, guess what happened? Can you guess? Jesus came back again. He came back again. And Thomas was there that time. And he looked at Thomas and he said, Thomas, peace be with you. And he said, do you need to put your finger in my hand? Do you need to touch my side? He said, Thomas, don't doubt. Just believe. Well, that's the same thing Jesus wants from us today. He was helping Thomas. He was teaching him that we can believe in him even if we can't see him. And sometimes it's hard to see because life is hard or something bad happens or we get sad and then we get to worrying that maybe Jesus doesn't love us anymore. That's just not true. Jesus loves us all the time. Jesus is alive and he's with us and he wants us to live good lives too. So, anyway, I just thought that story was a lot like this because you might have had trouble believing that the coin is back in the cup. I wonder, should I not show you? Should I just wait and not show you and just, no, that wouldn't be nice, would it? I'll show you. 1, 2, 3. There it is. It's back. Just like I said. The coin reappearing is a lot like Jesus reappearing. Capiche? Capache. Let's have a prayer. Here we go. Dear God, thank you so much for raising Jesus from the dead and giving us new hope and new life. Because he lives, we will live too. Help us to believe. Help us to believe that he's alive, even when it's hard, even when we don't see, even when we doubt and are afraid. Help us to continue to believe in Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen. All right, friends, that's it for today. See you later. Bye. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You all remember early on last year sometime when we were all first trying to figure out all this COVID stuff? I showed you an image of a saying that I thought was really funny. It says, wash your hands and say your prayers because Jesus and germs are everywhere. I really wanted to buy that sign and to put it in our bathroom, but I still haven't done it. Anyway, since then, since the last time I shared this image, I have learned something really interesting. Have you all ever heard of a man named Ignaz Semmelweis? Probably not. I hadn't. He was a baby doctor, an obstetrician to be more exact. He was from Vienna, Austria, and he specialized in childbirth in the middle of the 1800s. Of course, back then the mortality rate, you know, mothers dying in the process of giving birth was extremely high. So he did something really unusual, At least it was strange for the medical professionals at that time for the standards of practice. Way back in 1847, he washed his hands before he would work with a patient. It was not a common practice. As a matter of fact, routinely, unfortunately, doctors would examine diseased corpses. They would perform autopsies. And then they would go straight to attend the birth of a child without ever cleaning themselves up. It's totally disgusting, right? Of course, from our 21st century point of view, 200 years later, we can totally understand how this was a terrible practice. We know how bacteria and viruses would be easily transmitted in that kind of unsanitary environment. But they didn't know it. Even Ignaz Semmelweis didn't know why it worked. Germ theory hadn't been established yet. All he knew was when he washed his hands, the mortality rate dropped from 18% all the way down to 2.2%. Incredible discovery, right? I mean, life-changing discovery. Well, it would have been. But the other doctors and the people around him didn't believe him. See, they couldn't see the germs. They didn't want to be inconvenienced by having to wash their hands between all these patients. And they thought they were just smarter than he was. So they totally rejected his theories and his practices. And immediately after he was ousted, well, actually, after he was brutally beaten, institutionalized, and died, after all that, they just went back to the old ways of not washing their hands. And, of course, the mortality rate went back up. It's interesting to me how scientists and innovators and inventors who actually knew what they were talking about, how many of them who discovered and experienced something totally new were not accepted during their times. They were completely rejected. People didn't believe them at the time of their discoveries. People could not wrap their heads around their ideas and say that they were true. So instead, they just looked at them and said, nope, sorry, we're not going to believe you. And I have some examples. These are real, honest-to-goodness examples. In 1840, people said anyone traveling at the speed of 30 miles per hour would immediately suffocate. Did any of you drive 30 miles per hour today? And are you still breathing? In 1878, people said that electric lights were unworthy of serious attention. Well, can you see me today? Seems like those electric light things have kind of caught on. In 1901, people said no possible combination could be united in a practical machine by which men could fly. Well, I invite you to tell that to the pilots in our congregation or to my family who flew here this week. In 1926, people said the foolish idea of shooting to the moon is impossible. And now we have spaceships and computers and rovers and helicopters on Mars, a whole different planet. And then way back in 1985 or so, when I was at Wartburg College in Waverly, Iowa, I visited the computer lab one day, and I remember saying to a friend of mine, there is no way that these computers are ever going to catch on. That is the true story. I was so dumb. And then, 2,000 years ago, our gospel lesson. The disciples said to one of their friends, we have seen the Lord. Implying that Jesus, who had just been brutally beaten, hung on the cross, was died, and buried in a tomb, was somehow out and walking around, alive again. And they said to that friend, Thomas, who just happened to not be there that day when Jesus showed up, they said to him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas said, "No, no, no, you haven't. It's not possible. No one has ever been raised from the dead like that. So unless you can prove it to me, unless I see the mark where they hammered nails into his hands, unless I can put my fingers into those holes and, you know, where the nails were, and my hand into the side where he was stabbed with that spear, unless I can do those things, I'm not going to believe it." Now, it would be kind of easy for us to be judgmental of Thomas today, and to call him that nasty name that everybody likes to call him, Doubting Thomas. But just think about this for a second. Think about his life. Think about what he believed about Jesus. Think about how he gave up absolutely everything to follow him, to learn from him, to be with him. Think about all the amazing things that Thomas had seen and experienced. Think about how hard it was for him to sit by absolutely powerlessly and watch those Romans tear Jesus apart. I mean, literally. He had flesh torn from his bones. He had torture beyond what we can understand. He had absolute searing pain and was in the throes of incredible despair. And Thomas, poor Thomas, he had to sit there and watch them do this to his Lord. He loved Jesus. He spent every minute of 3 years with him. And then he watched him die. So don't you think it might have been a little hard for him to believe? Don't you think that Thomas deserves a little bit of a break from us? A little consideration. He had never seen somebody come back from the dead, let alone from that brutal kind of death. I think Thomas needs some grace. So my family has come to town this weekend. Not all of them, but a whole bunch of them. Nieces and nephews and great nephews and a great niece and my mama, of course, because she can't be left out. She can't be left at home while everybody's out here having fun. She would be sad. And two of my sibs. It's really exciting to have a brother and a sister here in our home in Colorado. We're gathering together to honor the life of my brother Kurt. We will put his ashes to rest in Colorado Springs this coming week. At any rate, it would not be proper to tell you that Kim is my older sister. I cannot tell you how old she is. That would be completely inappropriate and rude. But my brother Larry, oh man, you need to know, he is much older than I am. He always has been older than me. He always will be older than me. It's weird how that works, right? But back when I was a teenage kid and Larry was a grown-up, he taught me all kinds of things. A few of them were even good and legal, like how to catch bullfrogs in his pond outside of his home, or how to play spoons when we had musical concerts out there in his field up near his house. He taught me how to stay up really, really late at night. And we would talk about the world and life, and all of our hopes and dreams. Anyway, he also taught me how to chop wood. And one time, the first time I was helping to chop wood out on his property, we would split the wood and then toss it into the bed of his truck. I was a teenage kid, you know, and my body was changing. My hormones were coursing through my veins and changing my muscle mass, which I really didn't understand how to control. So I took this big old chunk of wood that I had just split and I threw it toward the truck, but I threw it way too hard and it went through the back window of my brother's truck. The piece of wood ended up on the seat inside the truck, of course, and there was broken glass absolutely everywhere. And I panicked. I thought, oh man, I am so stupid, right? I mean, I am in so much trouble. When Larry saw it, he walked over to me, and all he said was, you know, I was thinking about getting one of those new sliding glass windows for the back of my truck anyway. And that was it. Really, that's all he said to me. That was grace. In a moment of doubt and fear, in a moment when any normal person could have been really angry, he was not. And boy, at that moment, I really needed that grace. Well, in response to Thomas's doubts and fears, Jesus gave him grace. Jesus didn't reprimand him. He didn't kick him while he was down. He didn't think it would be good to hurt him any more than what he had already been hurt. So instead, a week later, Jesus appeared to Thomas and he looked at him and said, peace. Peace be with you. And it's not just peace like, hey, peace, love, rock and roll, that kind of thing. No, it was peace, like the Hebrew idea of peace. Shalom, wholeness. It's okay, friend. It's okay. And he said to him, go ahead, Thomas. If you need to, put your finger here into my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. It's okay, Thomas. It's okay. I'm really alive. Don't doubt, but believe. And boy, howdy. That is exactly what Thomas needed to hear at that moment. You know, because immediately after Jesus gives him this moment of grace, Thomas confesses what he was really hoping the whole time in his heart. That Jesus, you know, everything he was hoping, that Jesus was alive, that everything Jesus had said was true, that there really was hope, that death did not get the last word. And so Thomas, he blurts out the words that he had been holding back because he was afraid to hope. He cried out, my Lord and my God. Which, by the way, in my humble opinion, is the most powerful confession a person can make. To say that Jesus is not only my Lord, teacher, friend, leader, but Thomas called him his God. Jesus is God. That's what doubting Thomas said. Don't you tell me he was doubting Thomas. Then Jesus said something really cool that applies to us. He said to Thomas, you believe in me because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. But don't get confused with that word blessed. That word is so weird today in this modern world. So many people get it wrong. They say things like, oh, my life is great. I have an incredible, beautiful wife, 17 gorgeous children, 2.5 dogs in this big old honking house. I am so hashtag blessed. That's not what Jesus is saying. That's not what the word really means anyway. It means those people are so lucky. You know, those people who believe, who have faith in spite of what they see, they are so fortunate because they can believe even when they don't see, even when life is hard, even when the proof is not right there in front of them. They are so lucky. They are so blessed because they believe. But that's not easy, is it? Not all the time. I've been talking for a while now. Let's wrap this up. We, you and I, we're not really different than Thomas. It's easy to believe in the love and the power of God when everything is good, when life is easy, breezy, beautiful. But when we witness the hard stuff, heartbreaking things like Thomas did, when we experience death, when we see other people we love go through pain, when we see people acting in hateful and destructive and disrespectful ways in this world, when we look at this world and the old ways that we really have treasured in our hearts are being ripped away and everything is constantly changing, when we convince ourselves that there's no good reason to hope anymore, it becomes hard to see. It becomes hard to believe that God is good. But please look at what Jesus does for Thomas. He doesn't reject him when he doubts. He doesn't hate Thomas when he's afraid. He doesn't treat him like he's unworthy to come back to him and when he questions his life. No. Instead, Jesus comes to him. Jesus comes to him in his doubt. Jesus comes to him in his fear. Jesus comes to him and says, "Shh, Thomas, peace be with you. Wholeness, love, grace be with you right now. I'm here. I'm here to help you fight against your fear." Jesus says, "It's going to be okay, Thomas. I'm alive, really. And everything is going to be okay." Well, that's the same thing he says to us. I don't know what's happening in your life right now. I can't pretend to understand the struggles you are personally facing, the pain you're dealing with, the brokenness that you have in your heart. But I do know that Jesus says the same thing to you and me that he said to Thomas. He says, "Shh, peace be with you. Quiet your heart. Quiet your mind. Remember how much God loves you. You have not been, nor will you ever be, abandoned. I know you're filled with doubt. I know that you're scared. I know that your life has been hard. But I promise, I am alive, and everything is going to be okay. Thanks be to God. Amen." And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's sing together the hymn of the day. Where you are found. With all the peace, hope, and love that we can muster this day, let us confess together our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us join together our hearts and minds and pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, we love the way that you gave Thomas a second chance, that in his doubts and fears, you didn't reject him. You didn't get angry with him, but instead you met him with peace and a moment of grace and your extreme love. Help us to remember that even when we have doubts and fears, and even when our lives are difficult, and even when things are hard, you have not abandoned us. You are not dead. You are alive. And that we can have your peace. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for all of your children who are sick or suffering or need healing in their lives. Today we remember Don Soholt, Sonia Soholt, Troy Peterson, Christina, the niece of Janet Francisco, Sharon Wells, and Gladys Denehay. There are others. There are others that we hold in our hearts and our minds, and we raise them up now to you. Send your spirit of healing and strength. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord Jesus, today we also pray for all those out in this world right now who feel desperate, who feel afraid and are filled with doubt, those who are in need, those who need the basics of this life, food and clothing and shelter and work. Lord, we ask that you lift these up and empower us to help support their lives so they can get back up on their feet and do what they need to do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, as we continue to figure out our way through this COVID world and figure out how to open this church up, we ask that you be with us, that you give us insight, that you give us patience and strength and grace and mercy so that we deal with each other kindly and filled with your love, which is our purpose of existing in the first place. So inspire us to live lives filled with grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who's our Lord and Savior. Amen. We continue now with the offering.
You are the fire. breaking the silence. You say there's a treasure, and you look till you find it. You search to find me.
Let us continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary. It is our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus the Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth, sea, and sky and all their creatures, with angels and archangels and cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. In the night in which you was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And Lord God, now with your holy ones of all times and places, with earth and all of its creatures, with the sun, moon, and stars, we praise you, O God. Blessed Holy Trinity, now and forever, as we join together in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. I invite you to receive the blessing. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you have sent light into the world to conquer the darkness, water to give us new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. We ask that you send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show forth your glory to the whole world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us and keep us now and forever. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Go in peace, share the good news. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen.